with some of the lowest income people, and yet you're turning out these fabulous students. And so really it is a story of loving on people, reaching them where they are, and just changing their lives. And so it was a privilege to have this team, and appreciate, again, your support. And so Michelle and, oh, there's Kylie. Okay, I didn't know where you went. Getting away from here. You've got to stay away from Michelle and Kylie Rowe, Vicky, Becky, Holly, Millie, and myself went there. And so it was a great time. There's a microphone. And so what we'd just like to do is just share some stories behind each of those slides or each of those pictures, just a little story and some very precious memories, and you'll share some of those. And so, Michelle, I'm going to start with you, and the microphone is right there. So we're going to pass that around and make sure. So, Michelle, I know you were a little hesitant about going. I know that was a big decision for you. So tell everybody kind of why you decided to go.
Well, I had never been on a missions trip before, and I've always kind of wanted to go on one. So initially, when I saw the note in the bulletin, I kind of felt led to go and thought it would be a good experience for Kylie and I both to go down there. Then, I don't know, like after I left church, I kind of got a lot of anxiety about it, and you kind of get in your head and you want to stay in your comfort zone. And so I kind of started talking myself out of going. But then I kind of just had to decide, you know, am I going to follow, you know, what I felt led to do by God, or am I going to do what I think makes me feel more comfortable, which would be staying at home? So ultimately, I made the decision to go. So,
great. And Michelle did a fabulous job. She was on the work site with us. You saw the older gentleman, Sam, which we're going to talk a little bit about him, only went to the sixth grade. Never lived off of this same mountain that he lived on. We couldn't get up his drive because it had been eroded. It wasn't that far up the mountain, but we actually had to park the van on the other side of the road to get up there. But only been through the sixth grade, never married, lived on this mountain his whole life. And so we were on a work project to help him with his house. There were 8 homes that were worked on, and then there were also a couple other projects, the school bus garage, and a couple other projects for the school, so we were a blessing to Clay High School. And then also conducted a week-long vacation Bible school that went from Monday through Friday. And then on Thursday night, you may have seen some pictures, we had a community picnic. There was hamburgers and hot dogs and invite the community. Jesse Boggs shared his testimony, and then they had some music played with that. And so there were a lot of different ways in which lives were touched. But Michelle did a great job on the work site. And so if any of you need some construction help, Michelle can do it. So it's amazing what she could do. Kylie, if we can, let's see, get this down here. Kylie, what were some of your fears going? I know this was a new experience for you, and so what were some of your fears looking to go?
Some of my fears before going were leaving my dad and my brothers, because I don't like being away from my family. But I prayed about it, and I knew that that's what God wanted me to do, was to go to West Virginia.
Okay, good. So I know separating the family was a little bit of a tough thing for him, but you did really well. And so Kylie helped with Vacation Bible School during that week. Vicky, kind of give us what were some of the activities and the things that you did? You were involved in a lot of different things during the week.
During the week, I was involved with the VBS, or the Mega Sports Camp. And so that work was, that went through Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday and Friday, which we got to work. There was different sports that they did. There was cheerleading, basketball, flag football, baseball. There was art. Anyway, so there was different things for the kids to do, and that was the time that, so in the morning, starting like around 8:30, the kids would start to come, and then we would be with them until around going on 1 o'clock. And then after that was done, then we were all assigned to go out and do different projects or to help on different projects. So the first day, Monday, Holly, Millie, Kylie, myself, and 2 other teenage girls, Matt had asked if I would go with them down to the bus garage, and we cleaned up the the bus garage that had been flooded. We cleaned out the mud from, we cleaned the floors and wiped down things to get the mud out yet. And then on Tuesday we did a, last year they had built a stair, or yeah, stairs up to the side of the mountain to a lady's house. So we went and we stained them. So I was with the teenage kids and did that, which was interesting when you're working with teenage kids. It's quite interesting, but anyways, I enjoyed it very much. And then on Thursday, we just helped with the picnic, get things ready. We helped carry all the tables out and just anything that they needed to help with to set up for the picnic. And then on Friday, we just did, we had just different jobs to do to help like clean up the school and stuff where we had used from VBS, because our goal was to leave it better shape than what we found it when we came. In other words, we didn't want to, if we kind of trashed it, we didn't want to leave it that way, so we did that. So that was what I was involved through the week with.
Okay, great, good. If you saw on the video the stairway that was being stained or sealed, that was what she was referring to, and that was how an elderly lady gets up to her house. So that's how she walks every day, and they actually put in the stairs last year and then sealed it this year. What's that? 100 steps. Okay, so if you think you have like 6 steps, and she's 86 years old, okay? So that's how she gets, not 4 steps in your front door, but up those steps at 86 years old. And a little known fact, I don't know if you knew this, but in West Virginia, everybody grows one leg longer than another. I don't know if you knew that, no. But I don't know if that's a scientific fact, but we've come to the conclusion, because everything's on the side of a hill. And that's one of the reasons the rain was so devastating, is because you get 10 inches within a few hours, but then also you have all the mountains draining down, and everything is just in a little valley. So what maybe 10 inches actually is like 25 inches, and it comes and it just is a massive flood. So, but anyway, so everything is on the side of a hill there. Holly, share a story. When you saw God using you somehow?
Well, I was with basketball ages like 4 to 6. And I had a large group of kids. On the biggest day, it was about 14. And so that really stretched me, because when you're that age, like you're all off the walls and everything. And by the time it gets to lunch, they're tired, and so they're not cooperating. But I had a couple kids just from talking to them that had really come from rough situations. One of them was talking about how he, I asked what his favorite TV show, and he said, well, we don't have TV. And so then I asked what he liked to do, and he goes, well, play outside. We don't have much to do inside and stuff. So just looking at that. And then two other boys, they were cousins. I was talking to them, and one of them said the other was camping out at his house right then, because his house was broken. And so I knew I had a lot to do with that. And the mega sports camp coordinator kept saying, they're coming from rough situations and everything, so we just we want to make them happy for a little bit and just bring light into their day. And so I kept trying to do that, and it seemed like it just wasn't getting through. We'd have a worship time, and I'd be like dancing and going crazy, and they just like wouldn't respond to it. And so just kept trying and trying and trying. And I was even talking with Caroline, and she's like, just keep going for it. At the very least, other kids see you, and they get excited. And then it came around, like, Thursday morning. We had gotten there early for worship, and so they were playing fun music, and we were just kind of goofing around. And me and some of the other leaders were dancing to Don't Stop Believing, and so we were being real goofy and singing along. And I turned back just to, like, see my kids and see if I can get them engaged, and they were doing the little guitar solo. And it was just so funny, because I finally like made a breakthrough. They were finally being goofy and just like just being loose and fun. And then Friday during our last like time together as a group in our huddle time, which is where we shared our Bible stories and everything, one of my kids said, you know, man, I wish Mega Sports Camp went all summer instead of just 2 weeks. And me and my assistant kind of like locked eyes, and we were like, ooh, how do we tell him? And so we looked at him, and we went, it's only 1 week. And he goes, are you kidding me? And so just to see, like, finally made the breakthrough of, like, they think it's fun. They're excited to be here. They want to be here. So that was nice.
Good job. Thank you. We met several people that were living out of tents. Their homes were gone. And so to bring a little bit of joy and excitement into a kid's life who, it's not that he lost some of the things in his bedroom, he lost his house. And so there were some people in intense situations. Becky and I talked with a guy whose neighbor lived alone, and she was on oxygen, and her family lived away, and this neighbor was severely crippled. He walked really bad, and he was telling us about the flood came through, and the water was up to the chest of this older lady, but he couldn't get over there. And so finally they reached her son in a neighboring town, and he's able to come and carry his mother out. And so people that were severely impacted in a lot of ways, and when they didn't have much to start with. But one of the things that for me came through was how little things really mean. Multiple people said, you know, we're glad we're alive. We're thankful our family's still here. And sometimes we can be so focused on the material that we forget the really important things. Most of all, the eternal things. And so we are glad to be a part of that. Becky, can you kind of share a little bit of how you saw some lives touched? Maybe,
Multiple ways. Our work project was with a single gentleman, and just being able to visit with him, he spends a lot of his time alone. He worked at a rest area as a janitor, the rest stops along the road, and doesn't have interaction with his family. His brother lives not very far from that his house on that same mountain, but for whatever reason, they don't have communication. And so he just lives a very lonely life. So we were able to kind of just befriend him. The first day was kind of cool, and everyone just went about their work on the house and their jobs. But by the end of the week, he was like softening, and he was, he doesn't read well. He was asking for help. He just retired, so he's getting Social Security and health insurance and those kind of things situated now that he's not having a job. And so he's opening up and asking, you know, to read this stuff and really kind of letting us in his life. At the end of the week, he gave each one of us in the group a picture. He just went to the sixth grade, so it's a very simple picture, a drawing that he had done, but he didn't have much to give. But he just gave a part of himself to each one of us. So it was a lot to each of us. And I wasn't going to cry. another way that we were able to bless a lady that we had helped 2 years ago with her roof, she had a little diner that she opened just for lunch because she said she couldn't get up that early in the morning to do breakfast, so she was just going to do lunch. And if you understand the area, it's like miles to the next little small town, like a Lynn Grove type town. And so to have a little place where you can get a sandwich and a cup of coffee is important for those people. And so she had opened a little diner, and she really thought of it as a ministry. She talked about Jesus, and she worked at it with her daughter, and she's a very talkative lady, and her daughter always said, you know, you're doing all the talking and I'm doing all the cooking for all of these people. But with the flood, she just rented a space, and with that, she lost all of her food because they didn't have electricity for a week. And with renting, she couldn't get anything from the flood assistance because it wasn't her building. So she lost hundreds of dollars worth of food, and so she was out of business. One thing, we were able to bless her with some items that we had taken for food to be able to get her started on having open for lunch. She's disabled. She's on a very limited income. She wasn't making a lot, But we were able to take her some food throughout that week. And, you know, just keep that connection from 2 years ago. We were at her house and helping her with her leaky roof and her floor of her trailer that was soft and kind of squishy, and you could see the outdoors. And now, again, connecting again another year and being able to minister to her a second time and taking food to her to get her back in business. Another thing with the Thursday, they gave away sheets and towels and paint and to help these people get back on their feet. And one thing that blessed me, a lot of people just wanted to talk. It was about 3 weeks from when the flood happened, and just to listen to their stories. And then, you know, you'd say, well, do you need anything? Do you need some towels? Do you need some paint? And, you know, the resilience and the graciousness of these people, they say, oh, you know, we could use it, but there are people that are a lot worse off than I am. And so it just spoke to me. Just in the midst of tragedy, they were pulling together. And on that video, it looks like we were having fun and a lot of vacation. And we did have a lot of fun. But Michelle will attest, we and Vicky and all of the ones in the mega sports camp, we worked hard. It was hot, and we were on roofs and ladders, and it was hard work. We were physically tired at the end of the day. But it was always good to get a shower. And the meals, they always took very good care of us as far as meals. And then one of the better things was that we just were blessed spiritually by different speakers and by worship songs in the evening, that you were physically tired, but you were also spiritually refreshed, which was just really good. And it was good to feel like we had kind of sacrificed a little of our comforts in the sleeping in the library and in the band room. But God used that little bit of sacrifice in a big way to minister to the people of West Virginia.
Amen. Michelle, can you kind of share a special memory that you might have?
Not sure about a special memory. It just was a really fun week. I enjoyed it a lot. I enjoyed being around, you know, meeting so many different people, all the other people that had came from different states, and it was just fun to work together as a team, and I don't know, it was just an enjoyable week. I didn't know what to expect, and it was a lot of hard work too. Hot, hard work, but yeah, it was always nice to get back to the school and head to the locker room to take a shower and get cleaned up because we were pretty sweaty. But yeah, it was just, I don't know, just I enjoyed the people a lot, just getting to meet so many different people. And Sam was really neat, the elderly gentleman that we worked on his house. He was neat to watch him and get to know him a little bit through the week. Like Becky said, he was pretty... I don't know the right word, reserved or skeptical a little bit of us in the beginning, just cautious and stuff. And as the week went by, you could tell he had really kind of grown fond of us, and we did of him as well. And Becky mentioned the pictures that he handed those out. I thought it was neat. He had those all over in his house. Like he just, I think, takes coloring book pages and will not trace them, but just look at them and kind of redraw them and colors them. And I think he probably just does that to pass some time, but he had them like almost like wallpaper, like all over his walls. So he just took some of those and gave them to us, and it was really neat. I know also he didn't have much, but and he didn't know. I thought it was neat that the camp or the school, like they provide sack lunches for us when we go out to the work site, and we also bring enough food for the people that people's homes that we're working on. I thought it was neat, though, because even though Sam did not have much at all, he had bought, I think, a loaf of bread and some peanut butter and had bottled water in his fridge for us that first day, not knowing that we would be bringing his lunch to him. And even though he didn't have much, he was trying to, you know, be hospitable and give us, you know, food for lunch or whatever. So.
Vicki, tell me about a person that touched your life a little bit.
There's a lot of them that touched over the week, that touched my life. I think two of them that really stand out, I worked with, in the Mega Sports Camp. It was Candace and Debbie Boggs. But I think they really touched my life the week, just to see their servant hearts and just to see that, you know, they were there to, even Candace made the statement, after supper every night, before the evening time, the Mega Sports Camp group would get together just for a brief meeting, kind of go over what happened that day and stuff. And it was Candace said that she said, "I'm just going to speak up and I'm just going to tell everybody. You know, everybody knows I don't like kids." I'm like, okay. But she said, "I don't like kids, and everybody knows that. But you know," she said, "I had a wonderful day today with the kids in the art class." And that really spoke to me that, you know, she was put in a situation that obviously she, you know, didn't really maybe necessarily want to be there, but she knew that that's where she was to be. And so she just opened up to what the Lord wanted for her and just let the Lord use her. And that was, that meant a lot to me, because sometimes we get put in situations that maybe we don't want to be in or we don't care to be there, but God has put us there and she made the best of it. And we had a great week with her. She just was amazing. But then the other one that really touched my life too was one, and I don't even remember her name, but she came to the picnic and she was just kind of all by herself. And so I thought, I went over and I talked with her, asked her if I could help her. And she just wanted to know what this all was about. And all those tables that I think you could see in the slide was stuff that had been donated from churches and stuff to give away to the people. And so I was explaining to her, here then the tears just started to run. She had lost everything. She had lost her home. She lost her car, everything. She had nothing. But yet she looked at me and she said, "Even though I have nothing anymore," she said, "I didn't have a lot to begin with, but now I have nothing. But I'm okay with that because I have Jesus. And he's the one that gives me the strength and he will take care of me." And that really touched my heart because, you know, sometimes we get in our comfort zone and we complain or we don't like this or we don't like that or we want this or whatever. Here, she wasn't wanting for anything. She just was glad that she was alive and Jesus was her strength and he was the one that's going to take care of her and provide for her. But she ended up taking some stuff then so that she would have. She wasn't going to at first, but she did take things that she could use to help her till she could get a place to live. Some relative of theirs brought a camper that she was able to live in, so that's what she was living in for right now till she could get a permanent place to live. So that really touched my heart and spoke to me that, you know, sometimes we don't like what we have or we want something different, but that's not what it's all about. It's about living our lives for Jesus Christ and for him to provide and take care of us.
Thank you. In addition to the Vacation Bible School and the Mega Sports, so different sports interests, they also had an art class for people interested in art. They also had a sewing class. Several elderly women came and they just taught some basic sewing. And each day they made a purse one day and some different projects. And so it was a way to connect with more lives than just the kids, but people in the community could come. They had a computer class. The head of IT at Carnegie Mellon University, he came and donated his time and taught some basic computers and answered questions so people could have. So there were people could come there to the high school and get different interests and learn things as well as sharing Jesus with them. Just a couple more. Millie, can you share a couple stories that were special to you, or a couple memories that were?
One memory that was definitely special to me was there was a little girl at the camp, and the first day she came in, and she was just so sweet. She's always hugging on everyone, giving hugs and kisses, and always so nice, and giving hugs to all the people she knew. And it turned out that she got sick, and she had some fairly serious medical issues that we found out later in the week. And we also found out that she didn't have a house. She lived in a tent. And so just the fact that she wasn't getting the care she needed, it was really heartbreaking. And like Vicky said, Candace, she admitted that she's like, I don't like kids. And every year she's came to the missions trip. And she worked on a work site because she didn't like kids. But just the fact that like we're touching the kids' lives, but they're also touching ours.
Okay. See, you guys, once you're up here every Sunday, now you get sympathy for it. No, but I just want to just commend the team. They just did a fabulous job representing the church, representing our Lord, and just really worked hard and loved on people. I had multiple people come to me throughout the week and just commend for the workers and the job that they were doing. And so it was a great testimony to the Lord, but also the church. And so thank you. I'm going to go ahead and let them go down. If you guys, I'll let you go back to your seat. Thank you. And I want to just close with just a few thoughts. If you take your Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And as you're turning there, Becky mentioned the lady Vicky, that we were able to help with some of the food that you directly gave went to help supply her little diner. She was in the picture, kind of the white blonde-haired lady with Becky and I in there, but just a sweet lady. And she actually used to work for a community college in a neighboring city. And a picture came off of the wall in the office and hit on the back of her neck. She was in the hospital in serious condition for a long time. And then, so that's her disability. It's legit. And then she came back to take care of her ailing father and was living in his home, who we helped a couple years ago. And then a couple months before we got there, 2 years ago, her father passed away. And so she was living in his home, which was in need of repair, and that's how we met her. But she is a shining light in this little town there. And so, as Becky mentioned, the diner got swept away, or I'm sorry, the power went out, the food was lost. And so anyway, some of that food that you gave, we were able to corns and green bean and say, okay, you can get some lunches. And so I told her, I said, in 2 weeks, when I come back, I said, I want to have lunch. And she said, are you really going to be back in 2 weeks? And I said, well, you never know. So anyways, but we're excited to help her. And so we've kept in touch through her and through email. But Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, verses that I know you're familiar with, but it doesn't matter if we can quote them, doesn't matter if we can exegete them and parse the verbs. And the question is, do we live it? In Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Jesus told the disciples, and they lived in times really very much like ours. Times of social unrest. There were revolts. The zealots were rising up. And eventually, just a few decades later, Rome would come in and devastate the city of Jerusalem. They had enough of it. But times of political unrest, social unrest, ethnic problems and issues, a lot like our country. And so it was in the midst of that that the disciples asked the question in verse 6. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Lord, you're going to set up the kingdom. That's what they were focused about. Lord, come back. Make things all better. Is this the time? Jesus told them in verse 7, it's not for you to know the times and epochs or times and seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Jesus said to his disciples, it's not for you to worry about the times and the seasons. Those are fixed by the Father. What you need to worry about, if I can have that loose paraphrase, what you need to focus on is being a witness. Simply telling what you've seen and what you've heard. That's what a witness is. Simply one who tells what they've seen and what they've heard. That Greek word there is martyres. It's from where we get our English word martyr. Originally, a martyres was somebody who was a witness in a courtroom. They just told what they saw and what they heard. The interesting thing is the early martyres, the early martyrs, they ended up being killed. And then it became the connotation as one who dies for their faith. But Jesus said, you're to be a martyr. You're to be a witness, one who simply tells what you've seen and what you heard. In Jerusalem, your own town. Judea, the outlying areas. Samaria, where you cross some ethnic boundaries. And ultimately, to the uttermost part of the world. That's what we are to be about. Maybe it's across your back fence. Maybe it's across your hallway. But simply to tell what you've seen and heard. That's what God calls us to do. And so we are to be his witnesses. I thank the Lord for this team that was willing to cross some boundaries, to go someplace else, to be in conditions that weren't the most pleasant, to be a witness, one who would tell what they've seen and what they've heard. And so I just want to encourage you to fulfill that commandment. For some people, he calls them to go to someplace else, to another country, another state. But he's calling all of us to tell people what we've seen, what we've heard, what he's done in our life. You don't have to have an answer for every question. You don't have to be able to do everything. Just simply tell what you've seen and what you've heard. And so that is the command. That is the direction. That's what he's called us to do. He didn't call us to memorize it. He didn't call us to have a Bible study about it. He called us to do it. And so I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you, whether it's across the hallway, across the street, Lord willing, maybe God will call you to go across the state, to someplace that's a little bit harder. But we need to be witnesses, helping people become genuine followers of Christ. That's making disciples. And so across the street or around the world, let's be witnesses for Christ, making or helping people become followers of him. I'd like to close in a word of prayer, and then Tyler's going to come and close us in a song. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the sacrifices that those who went made. I thank you for the support of those who stayed in prayers and in donations, and I thank you for the lives that were touched. Father, I think right at this very moment of Sam, 70 years old, and knew a lot of things about religion, but didn't give any indication he knows you. So, Lord, I pray for Sam's soul right now. I think back of those moments when you could tell he was moved and his face was flushed by the love and the kindness. I thank you for Michelle and Becky's tenderness to him. I thank you for Nick and Isaac and those who sacrificed in building on his home. Father, I pray that the gospel would take root in Sam's heart. Father, may the seeds that were sown, may it bear much fruit. And Father, for each person in this sanctuary, I pray that you would help us to not be simply knowing, but doing what you called us to do. So Lord, open our eyes to see the vision of the world the way you see it, and to be your witnesses in this generation. It's for Christ's glory and for his honor we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.